Again, let me thank very much indeed the men for coming and singing to us tonight, ministering in song and helping us in the gospel service. We enjoyed their ministry tonight. We'll trust the Lord to bless as they have brought those messages in song. I wonder tonight, as they were singing about the dawning of that day, if the Lord were to come tonight. Now think about that. If the Lord were to come tonight, this is the reality of these matters, folks. If the Lord was to come tonight, would you be ready? All those things that you've found comfort in your life, all those things that you think are important in your life, they're not important anymore if you're not ready. If you're not saved, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, I pray that tonight you will. I pray that before this meeting's out, through the ministry and song, through the preaching of the Word of God, that God will so work in your heart and bring you to yourself, that if Jesus were to come tonight, if this were to be your last night, that you would be ready. God bless you men as you've brought those messages and song, and to Elizabeth as well for training the men so well. Can I ask you to turn, please, in the Word of God, just in the moments that we have remaining in this meeting, to the book of Hebrews and to chapter 2. Book of Hebrews, chapter 2. And it's just the opening words of verse 3 that we want to leave with you tonight by way of challenge in the gospel. Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 3. The question is asked, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Can we just pause for a moment, please, in a word of prayer as we come now to the closing moments of this meeting, the consideration of the Word of God. We need God's help again. We felt His presence with us already, but we need it now. This preacher needs it to preach the Word aright, and I pray that tonight God by His Spirit will come and speak to every heart. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in this meeting. We thank Thee, Lord, for the messages that have been brought to us in song. And we pray, Lord, now that as we come to the preaching, the meditation on Thy precious Word, we pray, Lord, for Thy help. Lord, fill this preacher with the Holy Ghost and with power. Lord, we ask, Lord, for that strength and that ability that we do not have of ourselves. Come and help us to preach the Word aright. Give Spirit-filled preaching, give Spirit-filled hearing, we ask of Thee. Stand in the pulpit, sit in the pew, we pray. Challenge, convict sinners, bring them to new life in Jesus Christ through Thy precious Word. Do us good, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Life is full of questions. Questions confront us in every aspect and at every stage of our lives. Some of those questions, they're trivial, and they cause very little thought by way of response. And then there are other questions they're testing. They cause us to consider, they cause us to ponder before we give an answer. There are other questions, and they're troubling, and they can disturb us, and they can unsettle us. And so often we search for answers, but often, as the case is, there are more questions than answers. However, life's greatest questions tonight, they're not those concerning our physical health. They're not those concerning our material wealth. The greatest question in life has to do with who we are, why we are here, and more importantly, where we are going after this life is over. It is one such question that is brought before us here in Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's a solemn question. It's a searching question. And tonight it's a question that demands our attention because it is a question that confronts us with some vital and some undeniable and indeed great truths concerning the gospel. As such, we must consider these great truths that are presented for us in this question here in Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 3. For a moment tonight, I want us to consider three great gospel truths as we see them here in this verse. First thing I want you to see with me here is the great provision of the gospel. The great provision of the gospel. At the end of that little sentence, it says, so great salvation. What is it tonight that is offered to you in the gospel? What is it tonight that we present before you tonight? It is God's salvation. It is life and liberty in Jesus Christ. It is new life in Him. It is peace with God and it's pardon from sin. A salvation. And here in Hebrews, this salvation is described by two further qualifying words in order to express the magnitude of it. It's not only salvation, but it's great salvation. Indeed, we see further that it's not only great salvation, but it's so great salvation. And so these two little important words paint for us in some detail the extent and the intensity of salvation. This salvation that we have to present to you tonight, it's great. It's great. Let me suggest to you some reasons as to why that is the case. The salvation is great because of the person who provided it. You see, the salvation of which we preach tonight, it's not found in this church. Tonight I'm not telling you to become a Free Presbyterian. Tonight I'm not telling you to become a member of this church, though church membership is vital. Tonight I am telling you about a person, not about a church. Because salvation is not found in this church. It's not found in your church. It's not found in any other church. The salvation of which we preach tonight, it's not found in who you are. It's not found in your good works. It's not found in your good living. You may have been brought up in the best of homes, and thank God for that. But that is not where you find salvation. The salvation of which we preach tonight, it's found alone in Jesus Christ. And tonight I point you to Him. Tonight I tell you of the Lord Jesus Christ who came into this world, died on Calvary's cross to save you from sin. Paul writing over in Ephesians 1 in the verse 7, he says, in whom, and the reference is to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Therefore tonight salvation is found in Jesus Christ. You see, folks, we've got to realize that Lord Jesus Christ was not just some mere good man. The false cults will come to your door and they'll agree with you that the Lord Jesus Christ was a good man. The Lord Jesus Christ was a prophet. But that's where they'll stop short. And when you put the acid test to all the false religions of this world, what think ye of Christ? That's where they'll fall short. You see, tonight Jesus Christ is true man, but He is true God. He left the splendors and the majesty of heaven and came into this world of sin, became bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, and took that human nature into union with His divine nature and died on Calvary's cross. He provided that salvation. He went to the cross at Calvary and there He died. We might have life. The Lord Jesus Christ alone opened the way back to God from the dark paths of sin. By His death and by His glorious resurrection, He bridged that gap that there was between God and man because of sin. John the Baptist as he preached to the crowds concerning salvation. And they were somewhat confused as to who he was preaching about. The crowds turned to him and said to John the Baptist, "Well, is it you in whom we find salvation? Are you one of the prophets of whom you've been speaking about? Do we need to turn to you for salvation?" And John the Baptist did what every preacher ought to do. He got the congregation's eyes off the preacher and got them onto Christ and cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And tonight I point you to Jesus Christ, because he alone can save you from sin. He alone is the one of whom we preach, and tonight I point you to him. It's great also because of the price that was paid to attain this salvation. Because there on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God, sinner, became sin for us. He who knew no sin, he who could do no sin, he was made sin for us. During those hours of darkness upon the cross, the wrath of God was poured out upon his lovely Son. He suffered more than any mortal man has ever suffered or will ever suffer. He not only suffered at the hands of the Roman soldiers who beat him and spat upon him, but far greater than that, he suffered at the hands of God the Father. He was cut off. He was counted amongst the transgressors. And as the intensity of that suffering increased, and as the payment for sin and salvation was accomplished, the Lord Jesus Christ cried out in agony and sorrows upon the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Cut off from God the Father to pay the price for sin, that we might never be cut off. He endured hell upon the cross, sinner, that you might never go there. You can't but help to read through Isaiah 53, that great chapter, speaking so many years before the actual event of the crucifixion, and just get some idea of how the Lord Jesus Christ was bruised and wounded in order to pay the price for our sin. The children were singing that lovely chorus this morning. He paid a debt I could not owe. I could never have cleared the debt of sin that was on my account, but I'm glad tonight that Jesus Christ stepped in and wiped my sins away. And tonight the debt of sin is heaped up on your account. And sinner, you can do nothing to remove it, but Jesus Christ can. By his blood shedding, by his death, he can wash away your sin. It's also great because of the power that accompanies salvation. Oh, tonight, sinner, if you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, your life will be transformed. There are so many today in the speak about turning over a new leaf. Oh, there are so many ways that society will seek to rehabilitate people, but thank God tonight the gospel transforms and reforms people. Whatever tonight is holding you back, whatever sin has gripped and is ruining your life, thank God tonight the gospel can set you free. You can go out of this meeting tonight with the song of the soul redeemed in your heart. You can go out of this meeting tonight on your way to heaven and to home if you will but come and trust Jesus Christ and accept this so great salvation. Will you? There is the great provision of the gospel, but I want you to see secondly with me here the great problem concerning the gospel. And this is not a problem with the gospel itself. This is not a problem with the message.
But
rather, the problem is with man's response. Look at the verse. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's the problem of neglecting salvation. Oh, tonight God offers to us salvation full and free. He offers to us pardon from sin, peace with God, new life in Jesus Christ. The problem is tonight that you've neglected it. You've neglected it. You've come to this church week after week. You've been brought up perhaps in the Sabbath school. And you have parents who love you in the Lord. And you know you need to be saved. For all these years, you've been neglecting salvation. You've been turning your back on the Lord Jesus Christ as the invitation has been given to you week after week. As perhaps mothers have prayed over you. Many tears have been shed because of you. And you've neglected salvation. You don't want anything to do with it. Or you think you're all right by yourself. Perhaps you have sat many, many years in this church. You have been here from the day the doors of not only this church, but the old church was opened as well. Week after week as well, you've heard you need to be saved. Week after week, you've walked out those doors neglecting the gospel. Wanting nothing to do with it. We read over in Luke's Gospel, the chapter 14. We won't take time to turn to it. You know the story. The great gospel feast that was prepared. The great supper. And the invitation went out. But on each occasion, the invitation was neglected. And to each person that the people went to issue the invitation, they all began to make excuse. What's your excuse tonight? What's your excuse for neglecting salvation? Or maybe you think, well, I'll have another time. No, you won't. No, you won't. Because God deals in the here and now. Yesterday, it's gone. Tomorrow, we might never see it. Therefore, this day, this night, while there is time and while there is opportunity, don't neglect the gospel anymore, because it may be your last time. Those people that I made mention of in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, they thought they would receive another invitation. They thought another time would come that they could be invited to this gospel supper. But as you read down that chapter, it never came. It never came. Oh, sinner, tonight, don't barter your hope for eternity with another day. Don't think that you'll have other opportunities to get right with God. You won't. David, the great psalmist of Israel, realized just how frail his life really was when he said, "There is but a step between me and death." And oh, sinner, that tonight you would realize that there is but a step between you and death. What if you were to take that step tonight? What if you were to take that step tonight? Oh, don't neglect the gospel anymore. Come tonight and be saved. Come tonight and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. As we close, I want you to see with me, finally hear the great peril in neglecting the gospel. The great peril in neglecting the gospel. The verse says, "How shall we escape?" We've considered the great salvation that is offered to us in the gospel. We've considered the problem of man in neglecting the gospel. But here tonight, our words, I trust God, by His Holy Spirit, will speak to your heart very clearly. How shall we escape? How shall you be saved? You want to go to heaven? Of course you do. But there's only one way to heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, don't fool yourself into thinking that somehow you can live your life in sin. And you can die in your sin. And you can go out into God's eternity and somehow God will turn a blind eye to your sin and just open the gates of heaven and let you in. It will never happen. If you think tonight, if you're fooling yourself into the thought that it'll be all right, everything will just work out all right, my friend, get rid of that foolish thought, because it won't work out. If when it comes your time to die and you're not ready, you're not saved, you haven't asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, then there'll be no means of escape. The wrath and the judgment of God which is upon your soul will then be brought to bear in all its power upon you. John, over in John 3, in the verse 18, he says, he that believeth not is condemned already. You see, sinner, you've got to realize something. As you sit in this meeting, you are under the wrath and the condemnation of God. And it's only by God's mercy, and it's only by His grace that He has withheld that wrath from you until this point. But there will come a time, just as it was in the days of Noah, where for 120 years God sent His servant to preach unto the people, but then the flood came and the judgment fell. God said, my spirit shall not always strive. Oh, that tonight you would realize that awful truth, that you're condemned already. Not because of who or what you are, but because you're born in sin. We're all born in sin, the Bible tells us. We're all under the wrath and the judgment of God, and there's only one means of escape. And it's by faith, trusting simply in Jesus Christ. Turning from your sin, leaving your sin behind. And in simple childlike faith, asking the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. But sinner, be warned. If you continue on, if you reject Him, and you go out into God's eternity, you die as you've lived in your sin, then all hope for mercy will then be gone. It'll be too late then. Therefore, I urge you tonight, while there is time, get right with God. Don't put it off anymore. Sinner, tonight be saved. Give your heart, life to Him. I often wish that in some little way I could tell you what it means to be saved. But I can't fully tell you. I can just urge you tonight to come and experience for yourself God's so great salvation. And you know what? It's a decision you'll never regret. Sad to say, there are decisions we do make in life that we do regret. Wish we hadn't made them. But you decide for Jesus Christ tonight, you'll never regret it. You'll have a joy in your heart you never thought were possible. You'll have a peace in your soul this world cannot give, and praise God, cannot destroy. Therefore tonight, what will you do with Jesus Christ? What will you do with the offer, the gospel, His great salvation? in God's name tonight, don't neglect it anymore. Don't put it off anymore. Come tonight and be saved. Come and get right with God. Leave this meeting tonight on your way to heaven. That can be your experience if you will but trust Him. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? In God's name tonight, don't neglect it, but rather receive it. Let's bow in word of prayer. And if God has been challenging you tonight about the things of God, and you know you're not ready to meet Him, you know tonight you're not saved, you know tonight you need to be saved, then even in the very seat where you are, you can ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. You can say, Lord, I acknowledge my sin before Thee. Sorry for that sin, come into my heart. I receive Thee gladly. And the promise is, Him that cometh, He'll in no wise cast out. And if you've prayed that prayer, make it known to someone. Or if you want to speak to someone you know in the meeting who's saved, then do that as well. You want to speak to us at the door as you leave, make your need known. We'd be happy to speak to you. But whatever you do tonight, don't leave this meeting without Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy so great salvation. We thank Thee, O Lord, for each one in this meeting who are saved, each one who's ready for heaven and for home. But, O God, for those who are still unsaved, we pray, Lord, tonight, You'll bring them through to Thyself and save them, we ask of Thee. Take Thy word and apply it by Thy Holy Spirit to the hearts and lives of each one. In Jesus' name we pray.